This morning being Pentecost Sunday, I thought we would do well to read from the original Pentecost story from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn with me as we look at verses 1 to 12, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers who had gathered together. And let's just take a moment and read that. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were, staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, said they've had too much wine. And at that point, Peter stands up and he speaks to the crowd and he gives quite a message there beginning at verse 14. And sometime you should read that if you've read it before, reread it and see the message, the response that Peter gave to the people who were wondering, are these people drunk or what's going on here? And that'll be a good message to look at sometime as well. But this morning I want to focus on verses 1 to 12 and see some of the things about Pentecost, the first Pentecost that we learn from this scripture. Verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. It was just a few weeks ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, that The Nazarene Theological Seminary was having the 25th reunion for my graduating class down in Kansas City. Now, I don't know how many people were able to go out of the entire graduating class, probably not a whole lot. The point is that sometimes it's really hard to get people together. Try to call a meeting and have people come to a meeting is sometimes a very painful task. A time when it's suitable for everyone. And the first thing I notice here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 is the fact that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. As difficult as it would have been, I'm sure that they had the same issues that you and I had. I'm sure they had other places to go and people to visit and repairs to the roof that had to be done and all kinds of chores that had to be attended to. But for whatever reason, they had all chosen to come together as the Lord had instructed them to do, by the way. And there they were. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Most of the time, we just can't seem to get people all together. But not only were these people who were together physically in one place, they were bonded together with a purpose. Not only were they meeting, these were a wide variety of people. There were tax collectors. There were people who had previously fought for power amongst one another. There were people who had trouble serving one another. There are people who sometimes resented one another. These are people who had trouble with ego and pride and all sorts of issues. And here they were together, not only physically in one place, but I believe more than that, they were all together in purpose. They had a common purpose. They had met together for a reason. They had something in unity together. And I really believe, if we get nothing else, it would be helpful for us to get this, that good things happen when God's people come together. Not just physically in a meeting, but come together in spirit, come together in purpose. I believe Satan would love nothing more than to drive people apart. And if you think about it, it's so easily for people to be driven apart. You could almost say it comes naturally. Something is misunderstood, or somebody says something, or a phone call doesn't get returned, or an email, or something, and then you begin to wonder, well, why isn't that person, and what's that person thinking, and coming apart is so natural, it seems. And yet in the Scripture here, we see God's people, they had come together in one place, and yes, it's talking about a physical location, but I really believe that they were talking about something more than that. That they have come together in purpose. And the church needs to be a place where God's people come together. We come together in a physical location. It's important to come together. It's important to see you. If you're not here, we miss you. Something isn't right. It's not complete. But more than that, we need to come together in purpose, in mind, in spirit, in focus, in why we are here. It doesn't always work that way. You might have heard this story about the church where the preacher and the song leader were having a little bit of trouble. They weren't getting along very well. That doesn't happen with us, Clayton, right? No. We're okay. But, you know, this began to spill over in their worship services. And one week the preacher preached on commitment and how we should dedicate ourselves to the service of the Lord. And the song leader decided, well, we're going to close by singing, "I Shall Not Be Moved." The next Sunday the preacher preached on tithing and how we should gladly give to the work of the Lord. And the song leader led the closing song, "Jesus Paid It All." Well, the following Sunday the preacher preached on gossiping and how we need to watch our tongues. And the song leader chose, "I Love to Tell the Story." They were not getting along very good, these two. The preacher became very disgusted over the situation. And the next Sunday, he told the congregation he was considering resigning the church. The song leader led the song, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" Clayton, you better be careful, buddy. As it came to pass, the preacher resigned. And the next week informed the church that it was Jesus that led him there, and it was Jesus that was taking him away. And the song director led the closing song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Man, those guys have problems. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to be together. We need to be together in one place. We need to be together in one mind. And that is how God works, and that is, it's in situations like that, it's in that kind of a context that the Holy Spirit came. It's important for us to understand that. The context, the groundwork, the basis, you know, we can do all sorts of things, but if we're not together spiritually in our focus, in our purpose, in our love for one another, how can we expect God to work in a body of believers? Oh, I am very grateful that God has brought us together in so many ways. And we are a church, we are a body that many parts working together in unity. But that's something that doesn't just happen by accident. It is intentional. It is focused. And the first thing I really want to focus here on in this Pentecost day is the fact that the disciples were coming together. Second thing I want to draw our attention to is that when they came together, something marvelous happened. And the best way that I can put it is that they were consumed by the Spirit of God. Take another look at verses 2 to 4. When they had all come together in one place, Scripture says, suddenly, I like that. Suddenly, you know, boom. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were meeting, where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there are certainly many ways that people can interpret these scriptures, these events that happened on that wonderful day. But in my notes and in my mind, I describe this, and what I see here is a people who were consumed by the Spirit of God. People have looked at these verses and they have focused on different things, and some people have looked at the sound of the wind and the power it represents, and that's true. And some people have looked at the fire and the representation of the tongues of fire and how fire brings purity and cleansing, and that's true. But what I want us to focus on, and no matter how you interpret these verses, is that these people were people who were being consumed by the Spirit of God. They were being filled with the Holy Spirit, as the Scripture says. This wasn't just some human drama unfolding. It wasn't the result of some loud and boisterous preacher getting people all excited and worked up. It was pure and simply the Holy Spirit consuming or filling the disciples. Another way to look at it is the Holy Spirit was taking possession of these people. You know, when you go and buy a house, it's quite a chore, quite a daunting task. I think that's why Myron decided to build one. It's a lot easier. Maybe not. It's a lot easier to just buy one. Anyway, when you buy a house, you look around and you look around and you look around, and finally you make an offer on something, and you go and you talk to the banker, and then you fall on your knees and you pray. And finally comes the time when you sign some documents, you meet with the lawyer, and you sign some more documents, multiple pages and more pages, and then you wait, and a closing date and an inspection date. And finally, after all this period of time and waiting and anticipating, finally the day comes when you get possession of your house. And what I see here in Acts chapter 2 is these Christians, these people who've been following the Lord, who've been serving Him, who've been living for Him. And what we see here is that God has been working in these people's lives. He's been walking with them. He's been shaping their thinking. He's been molding their understanding. He's been forming them into a holy nation of people that belong to God. And now comes the time when He is taking possession of them. And boy, does He ever move in when He does that. And you see, when God took possession, when God consumed the people by His Spirit, when God moved into their lives, things changed. That's why you've heard me say in recent weeks how excited I am when I see things change. When lives change, sometimes right before your eyes, it's the work of God that has consumed people. When God's Spirit moves in, things change. These people, these disciples, who back in John chapter 19 were hiding behind locked doors. They were afraid. Now we're going to find out how they go out and they speak boldly. They're proclaiming their faith on the streets. These disciples who were discouraged, who were beaten emotionally and physically, were now eager to go out there. They were no longer afraid. When God's Spirit moves in, when God's Spirit takes possession or consumes us, things change. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He purifies, He empowers, He guides, He teaches, He reminds, He gives us the words to speak when we need them. And why does God do that? Why does the Holy Spirit consume us? It's not so that we can feel good about ourselves. It's not so that we could, you know, pat ourselves on the back or wear a badge and say, this is what happened to me. God's Holy Spirit consumed the disciples in order to commission them, in order to give them a task, and that task was to send them out. The whole point of being filled with the Spirit, of being consumed by the Spirit, was not so that for the disciples' own sake. It wasn't for them. It was so that they could be used of God for the sake of those around them. And sometimes people mistakenly think about the Holy Spirit as if it's something that they can possess. I've got it. Ha ha ha. The Holy Spirit is not something that we possess. It is someone who possesses us, who owns us, who takes us, who consumes us. And He does it for a reason, to communicate the gospel. We see that in the remaining verses of this chapter, verses 5 to 12, when the Holy Spirit came and consumed the disciples. They started to speak in other tongues, in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. And it's important to note here that the other tongues that verse 4 speaks about, that Luke writes about, are actual languages that people were familiar with. These are actual languages. The disciples spoke in the languages of the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites, and you can read the list in the Bible there, Mesopotamians and Judeans and Cretans and Arabs and Egyptians and Cappadocians and a few other Ians that I can't pronounce very well, and they're there. And these disciples who had come together in one place, and God says, wow, they're all together, time to move in, now's the chance. And He moved in and He took possession of them. He empowered them. He purified them. He cleansed them. And He sent them to a task to communicate a gospel to people who, in languages that they hadn't even learned. Talk about a steep learning curve. This was a supernatural act of God. My high school French teacher would have been impressed if I could have done that overnight. All of a sudden, able to speak another language. Or my Greek college Greek teacher, he would have been even more impressed. Wow, Norm, you sure learned that well. But God gave them this ability for a specific reason, to communicate the gospel. And the point here is that when God's power consumes us, it's for a purpose. He has a reason for it. In this case, it was to communicate the gospel. It wasn't for their own sake. It wasn't so that they could be puffed up or anything like that. It was so that they can carry on the work that God had given them. It wasn't their power, but the power of God. And that was very obvious. Every time Christians were filled with the Spirit of God, they were used by God to communicate the gospel. We could do a study on that. I can probably point to 6 or 8 different passages in the book of Acts where we could see people consumed by God communicating the gospel. But it all started when they came together in one place, not just in body, but in heart and mind. Again, great things happen when God's people come together. It's the beginning, not just physically, but in spirit. In his book, The Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozer, he wrote this. He says, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are also automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be if they were being unity conscious and turning their eyes away from God and strove for closer fellowship. And what A.W. Tozer is basically saying is, if we want to be all together in one place, don't look at me, don't look at your neighbor, don't look at somebody else. We look to Christ. If each one of us looks to Christ, has our eyes on Him, and seeks to reflect Him, then we will be all together in one place. If we want to be together, we can only do it as we bow our hearts to God. The more we center our thoughts on Christ, the more we will be drawn to one another as well as His followers, and the more our differences will fade into insignificance. This year for Pentecost Sunday, I want to encourage you, let us look for ways where we can come together, be consumed by the Spirit of God, so that God will communicate His good news through us to a world that is starving spiritually. Let's pray. Father God, this morning as we reflect upon that first Pentecost Sunday when Your Spirit came upon the disciples who were gathered together, Lord, we are very well aware of the fact that they were all together, that You did consume them and You commissioned them. And Father, my prayer for my heart and for Your body here, the church, above anything else, above anything, any recognition or anything, Lord, our desire is that we would be consumed by You. And Lord, this morning, if there's any area of our life, Lord, that we are holding back from You, that we are hiding from You or putting away or reserving for a rainy day or whatever else, Lord, I pray, Father God, that we can just hold it out to You right now and say, Lord, take it. Take my life. Take every part of it, Lord God. I don't want to hold anything back. I want to be consumed by You. I want to be filled by Your Spirit. I want to be used by You, Lord, in whatever ways. And Father God, I pray that You do that in our hearts and lives today. And Lord, if there's any this morning who have not even yet taken a step of faith towards You, I pray, Father God, that You would just draw us near to You. Help us, Lord, to understand that You are the one that gives life. You are the one that gives hope and meaning and purpose. And Lord, You fill us, You use us. You have come that we may have life and have it to the full. And Lord, as we give ourselves to You, Lord, may we experience the fullness of the life that You give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.